Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life,
call his wife in. Oh, I sang. Said I wasn't going to sing. All right, 403, McMonagle here with you. That's all right, we'll sing for you Met fans. Sing that football's back. Football tonight. We got, obviously, the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. A repeat of the AFC Championship game tonight. Ravens, Chiefs. Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. Good to have football back. We got the game on Friday, and then, of course, Sunday. Tomorrow's Football Friday, the first Football Friday of the year. Marco will be here. Fliegelman will be here, thankfully. We'll get into our pick segment. We will bring back the very popular Take a Chance Parlay. Looking forward to that. Hearing that glorious song once again. Looking forward to it. We'll get more into the games, obviously. Jets Monday night. Giants home dogs against Minnesota. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have to break that game down, get into it. Sam Darnold, a road favorite to start the year. And we'll do a couple of over-unders. I was going to do it tonight, but I don't have an over-under involving either the Chiefs or the Ravens, so I felt like we can get into the misery of the Yankees and the adulation of the New York Mets for one more day before we get into it tomorrow on Friday. We'll do a couple over-unders. We'll get into the picks. We got a game tonight. Looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. And apparently everyone's coming over to my house on Sunday. Got the ticket already. I did love it. And it worked great last year, I have to say. I've never had it with the dish. Never able to get the satellite in my house, but had YouTube last year. There was like one problem one afternoon. They recognized it. I don't know if they gave us money back on our bill. I don't even remember. But, I mean, it worked pretty smooth. And for me in my house, God, I'm constantly having Wi-Fi issues, and I didn't have a single problem with that. And I'm probably jinxing it right now. But get your picks ready. Get your pools ready. Get everything ready. Your knockout picks. I think everyone's probably going to be on Cincinnati. We'll see if the wide receiver is going to play. Chase is going to play. I don't know. But what I do know is the Yankees had another brutal loss last night. Just an absolute devastating loss. They played like crap. That's what made the other night so devastating, really, is that you knew nights like this with Marcus Stroman, who you can't trust. I know he's good the last three starts. You can't trust him. And more than that, the Yankees just played awful. Whether it's, I know everyone's harping on Verdugo not running out ground balls. I thought Soto and Judge played terribly in the outfield. Lazy, mistakes, all over the place. They do fight at the end and almost make a miracle comeback. Would have been brought within one run if Stanton's home run got out. It got robbed at the wall. Just a disgusting loss. And the Yankees don't have time to mess around. They're battling for division with another team that seems to can't get out of their own way as they lost to the White Sox last night. And the Yankees just have to figure out a way to play good baseball, and they have to start by putting their best foot forward. And I've been saying it for a month, but I'll say it again. DFA DJ LeMahieu, now that Birdie is ready to go, bring him up here and bring up Jason Dominguez. Start playing your best players. You got guys like Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt coming back. Bring your best players to this team. Enough with Verdugo. Enough with DJ LeMahieu. They've already taken Clay Holmes out of the closer role, which they had to do. Now is the time. Take a day off. Show up in Chicago ready to change this freaking season. And for the Mets, change nothing. 7 in a row. Winker with a home run to give him a lead. The pitching staff's been unbelievable, completely shut down the Red Sox endeavors, which is, I'm unused to it. I can't remember the last time I watched Devers play a series and have multiple opportunities to either change the game, break open a game, do something, get back into a game, and fail at every turn. At every turn. The Mets did a remarkable job pitching to the middle of this lineup. Did a remarkable job turning double plays every time they got into a jam. They're doing all the right things. Lindor has been unbelievable. They are playing right now like the hottest team in baseball and a team that wants it. The Yankees have to figure out a way to look the same. 888-808-1019. Ron Konkama, we go. Eric, what's going on, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. How you
good
doing?
Morning to you.
Well,
sir.
I know how you're doing, but before I get to the Yankee stat I have for you, I just found out yesterday my brother and niece are going to the Jet game. I think they're leaving today or tomorrow to go out there. So, we're all Jet fans. So I told them, I said, if you're going, you better bring them a win. Otherwise, we're not letting you back into New York. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I know. This game's going to go either way, I think. That's what happens in the beginning of the season. But, I only looked into this because I heard, I got in the car, had to work right when the game ended, and I don't know if it was Justin Jackal saying that they were 500 since August or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Record-wise. So I was curious because, I wanted to see what they were since Gerrit Cole came back. Because, you figure, him coming back from a major injury to start the season and, getting a pitcher of his caliber back, you think that'd be a big boost.
It has not
to the
been.
Team, or at least, right. And they're actually out of 65 games at 29-36, which I thought was crazy. Now, obviously, it's not, due to him, but, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It is weird. No, there's no question. And more than that, the starting pitching specifically went to crap. Like, they were great. If you remember, the starting pitching, it's amazing the dichotomy of this season for the Yankees and what they were and what they are. Like, the starting pitching went the longest in the history of the game with at least going four innings from every starting pitcher. There was not a single blow-up. Every pitcher pretty much went five, at least, every single start. Without Gerrit Cole. It was remarkable. Luis Gil was on his way to winning the Rookie of the Year. Stroman was having a great start. Rodon was having a great start. Clark Schmidt was having a great start. It was just, what's going to happen? Who's leaving when Cole's come? That was the problem. The problem was, who's going to have to leave the rotation when Cole comes back? And then, of course, Clark Schmidt gets hurt. Cole comes back. And almost immediately, Luis Gil had miserable starts. It's hard to fathom what exactly has gone on. But again, my point with today is I'm tired of looking back. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of talking about and I'm a victim of it. I did it last night. What Brian Cashman didn't do and what should have been done and this. Here's the fact of the matter. The New York Yankees are good enough to win. How do they figure out how to start playing like that? Because I'm sorry, they are. This lineup's good enough. They lead the American League in runs scored. Soto and Judge in the middle of that lineup, Cole at the top. Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt are coming back. Maybe they're moved to the bullpen to solve some issues. You got Hamilton coming back. Efros just is getting his feet wet back with the Major League team. He pitched well yesterday. Like, they're going to have to figure out. But for me, it starts with putting your best team out there. And they didn't want to do it August 1st. Enough with Verdugo. Another miserable game. Enough of him not hustling. Enough of it infuriating the fan base. Just enough of it. They have a day off before they go to Chicago. Do the right thing. Call up Dominguez, who had another home run yesterday. He's been killing the baseball for almost 3 weeks now. Do it! You did the right thing with the bullpen. And you did what you had to in taking Clay Holmes out. Put your best roster together and do it now with 22 games left. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. The pitcher was atrocious yesterday. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. Like yesterday, it was just gross.
Yeah, it was a miserable game, and that's what makes the blown save so bad, because you knew, for at least I did, Marcus Stroman against Nathan Eovaldi, who kills the Yankees. I know the Yankees got to him the last time they played, but when Craig Carton was on the call, but I had no faith in that pitching matchup whatsoever. So when you are leading by 3 runs in the 8th inning, you have to win that game. You just have to.
Yeah, of course, the next Yankees got to beat us on the mound. What else is new, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's such an XX Yankee. He's been a Red Sox, a Ray. You know, I'm past the idea of him being a Yankee, but yes.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the football's back tonight.
Yes,
I kind of like the Chiefs tonight. You know, to win the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I like them to win the game. I'd consider taking the Ravens here. I know the Ravens aren't going to be as good as they were last year. At least that's the prevailing thought. You know, last year they were favored in that game, in the championship game. They got away from the run heavy offense that got them to that point. They turned back into throwing the football. It was just a disaster of a game for them. I would think coming off that game that they're motivated. It's hard to go against the Chiefs, especially with the spread. You know, I was looking at some of the things. Do you know how good in the last 3 years, Lamar Jackson is 7-0 as an underdog against the spread? 7-0 in the last 3 years. And Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the NFL in the last 20 years. I think he is. I think it's him and I don't remember now. He's either one or two of coaches against the spread as a dog. The Ravens have been really good to you if you've bet the Ravens as a dog since in the Lamar Jackson era. And oddly enough, Patrick Mahomes has not been a great favorite. Now, typically it's because he's favored by so many points, and we know favored by double digits, you bet against the Chiefs. They always seem to manage to keep these games close. But at three, I think it's right on the number. I'm not sure what I'll do. I'll probably take the Ravens if I'm going to touch it at all. But because I think the Ravens can be motivated. Their defense, obviously, they lost their defensive coordinator. It's going to take some time. I still believe just they're one of those teams that show up, play well. They're extremely well coached. Lamar Jackson's going to be motivated. I do like their weapons. They have a run game. They have a great tight end. I think Zay Flowers is a young wide receiver. I think that can make plays. I'm going to go on the how good they've been as an underdog and what typically Mahomes is as a favorite, but only a 3-point favorite is it's touch and go. But I think ultimately the Chiefs will have the better season. I think the Chiefs are going to be much even better than they were last year. Last year, everything went wrong for the Chiefs up until the playoffs. They're playing in a miserable division where the Ravens are obviously in one of the better divisions in football. Tonight should be interesting. We'll see what kind of team this Ravens team is made of. We'll see with Lamar Jackson how motivated he is after what undoubtedly for me is the most disappointing loss of his career. The one chance he had to have Patrick Mahomes in his building, as we all thought the Chiefs were flawed last year, and they probably were, and they're still good enough to win the freaking Super Bowl. Disgusting. Disgusting. But it should be a good game. I like the idea that I know there was a lot of rumors. A lot of people thought it was going to be the C.J. Stroud and the Texans. But I like with the Chiefs for this opening game. But I like a replay of a championship game. I like that to start the season. It's obviously two good teams from the previous year. I'm assuming expectations. I like replaying the championship game. I think if they did that every year where the Super Bowl winner just replays as long as it works on the schedule. I like that idea. But we'll get into more of the games. I have a couple over-unders. We'll get into the picks. I think the Giant one is fascinating. Just real quick, just on the spread from a betting standpoint, we'll break down the game and some of the different things. But you've got Sam Darnold coming in, right? First year with the Vikings. This Viking defense, obviously well-coached, great defensive coordinator. But their secondary is weak. I don't know if I don't feel like this team is that good necessarily, but to come in, the Giants, Daniel Jones, the added weapons, right? We all know about Daniel Jones, but Malik Nabers, the best wide receiving core, right? They have a good defensive front. They added the pass rusher in Burns in the trade. Their defensive backfield needed a Dory Jackson desperately. They got a little bit of boost there with at least a serviceable second cornerback. But the Giants are 6.5 over under. They've been a miserable franchise. They opened the season at home, but to have Sam Darnold come in as a 1.5 favorite on the road, initially my thought was, that's a line that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe we should be pounding the Vikings. But the more I think about it, I don't know if that makes any sense. The more I think about it, I don't know if you can trust Sam Darnold. First game, Minnesota on the road to go into a place like the Giants, who, listen, should have a pass rush, right? And should make the run game hard for the Vikings. Now, the defensive backfield scares me. And, you know, Bowen apparently, is a much more straightforward defensive coordinator. He's not going to throw a lot of blitz at you the way Wink Martindale's had. Maybe he's not going to try and fool you as much as Wink might have tried to fool you. He's going to try and stuff the run and get after you. And if they can do that, I mean, Sam Darnold, the guy who sees ghosts, the guy who hasn't really been able to hold down a job for years, he's coming on the road to open the season as a 1.5 favorite. I don't know. For some reason, that line it seems put. Now, the Giants opened up, I believe, as the 1.5 favorite, and it's changed 3 points over the last 2 weeks. But I find that's one of the more fascinating lines of the week for me. And my initial thought was, that line doesn't make sense. I'm going to go, the sport books, the old cliche, the book isn't your friend. My initial thought was to maybe go Vikings, but maybe the Giant fan in me, maybe now that Daniel Jones has been disrespected by his GM in such a blatant way for the whole world to see, that maybe he's going to be pissed off and figure out a way to actually complete a pass. Maybe he'll even throw a touchdown to a wide receiver. I don't want to get crazy. But maybe he will.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So now, I said football is obviously back. We got a game tonight. Week one. First football Friday tomorrow. First football Sunday. On Sunday. And I was debating whether or not I didn't do it last year. And maybe it's because I wasn't confident enough. Or I thought better of it. But I don't know if anyone's heard it other than maybe some old fans of the Mac and Mons podcast, if you ever heard of that, and I can't imagine you have. But I played it on there. I did a spoof back before Monday Night Football did a spoof on it for its commercials. But I took Monday by the Mamas and the Papas, and I did a song called Football Sunday that I used to bother my wife because she hates Football Sundays with a passion. She's the typical, she loves baseball. She's not a fan of football. And she hates the idea that it hijacks our Sundays for the entire, from now until February. So I used to just casually sing Football Sunday in the month, Football Sunday. And not to let Al be the only one who does song parodies around here, I recorded the song parody just to annoy my wife. We were back before I moved up to Warwick, my in-laws were living in Warwick, and we went to Applefest. She made me go to Applefest. She said, I'm sorry, you have to take this one Sunday and come to Applefest with me. I was like, she's like, you can try and watch the game at times, but we are going up to see my parents for Applefest. I'm like, this sucks, but okay. I was still in my courting time period. I hadn't sealed the deal just yet. And I mean, engaged. I don't mean seal the deal. Get your mind out of the gutter. So I promised her I would go up there. So I had this joke that I would play some sports radio in the car and listen to, you know, Mike do Football Sunday, whatever I was going to do in the car, to the point where I knew she didn't want to hear it anymore. And I would say, oh, I'm sorry, you want me to play something else? I'll put on some music or something, all right? And when she said, okay, I would play the CD that I had of me singing an entire song of Football Sunday. And that's what I did. I recorded it onto a CD. I had it in the car. We were listening to sports radio. I said, all right, enough of this sports. I feel bad. You want to listen to some music or something? And I played the CD, and it was me singing Football Sunday. I had the whole song. I had a whole bunch of lyrics. So maybe I'll play Football Sunday for us as we get ready for the first Football Sunday. It's got a couple of lyrics that need bleeping. I'll run it by Fliegelman and see if it's air quality. But maybe we'll have some fun with that as we get ready for the football season. And it seems passe now because, again, ESPN did the whole Monday. They didn't change the lyrics or anything. I changed Monday to Football Sunday. But, yeah, that's got to be what? I got married 7, 8 years ago. So it's got to be close to 10 years ago, maybe. Eight, 9 years ago I did that song. And I did play it once on a Mac and Mons podcast. I think that's the only place that's ever been heard. So maybe we'll dig up Adam Mothballs. But I did mention Daniel Jones. I even made a snide comment about him throwing touchdowns to wide receivers. So, you know, Brett in Long Island had to call up and defend his honor. Whether it's me insulting Daniel Jones, whether it's the GM insulting Daniel Jones, you know Brett will be there. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
I actually laughed at that story you just told about the CD in the car. I was picturing that. That was funny.
Yes. The whole plan was to make her think I was going to move on from football, and then I played the annoying... Because I forgot, like, every Football Sunday morning, I would wake up and go, Football Sunday, and kind of throw it in her face that we're not doing what you want to today. We're watching football. And she hated that. And then so the one day that I was going to do what she wanted to do, I had to have, like, a whole song prepared. It was funny.
I broke my wife down finally. It's the 8th year I've been with her. She had no interest in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now she already asked me, said, what are we doing? Are we going, you know, what are we doing
nice.
For football? I said, we're staying home. We'll have your dad come over. He's the only one I'll watch a game with at this point. I can't go out. So I'm handicapped with it. I got to stay home. And he doesn't say a word. I order food. He's quiet. You know, I've tested him out over the years. He's fine.
You've trained him all.
I can't go out. I can't go to the stadium. My kids are already talking about the Giants. So we're good. But Chris.
Good.
You said, maybe I'll bet on the Vikings. You just said that.
Yeah, I said that my initial thought, and listen, this is as a gambler, not a Giant fan, just looking at the spreads. When the spread came out, my initial thought was, that's a weird line. It makes me think I should bet the Vikings, yes.
If ever,
mm-hmm.
and this is pessimistic, if ever, I'm saying the Giants are going to win a game. I got the Giants haters already saying you might win that one. You know, if ever. And you
didn't say I'm going to pick them. I said just on the line, reaction to a line, I'm surprised the Giants aren't favored because I do expect them to win this game. So the idea that they're a point and a half underdog at home to Sam Darnold, just it jumped out at me like, wow, maybe they know something I don't know. That's my point because I do expect the Giants to win this game.
All I know is I hope your team loses this week in Brazil, and the Giants better get me a win because I'm putting them in my survivor pool. Chris,
no, you're not.
Quick.
Don't
just
do
listen.
That. Don't do that.
Just
do what you want. Don't put the Giants in the survivor pool.
I'm using the Giants this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Using the Giants.
Don't do that.
You know, me and Ryan are teaming up too. Ryan, he's doing the Bengals. Everybody's gonna do the Bengals.
All right. If you want to try and find another option besides the Bengals, I'm here because I agree with you. Everyone's gonna try and do the Bengals. Don't do the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm doing
the Giants. We'll talk about them. Just listen to this quick. I've been invited to my 11th Giants group, social media. So I just quick, this is funny. I go, I'm new to this group. I want to start by saying I have supported Daniel Jones since day one.
You've been invited.
I will continue to do so. And I will do so this season. And if you are a hater, then go join Cowboys or Eagles group. That is all. Have a great day. Chris, this started yesterday. It's been going round the clock. I am fascinated that the Giants fans, how much hate there is and anger.
Uh-huh.
And say, I mean, there's a moderator, but people saying stuff like cursing, no respect at all. I am getting destroyed. I'm like, you guys are Giants fans. He's our quarterback. It's over. It's week one. They picked him. If it doesn't work, okay, we can move on. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, I mean, I get. Well, listen. Sense. Well, because here's. Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you
You're
why.
You're hating me. These people are hating me because
well,
I'm
you make
supporting.
It, Brent, you make
who
it.
Who the Giants chose?
You make it
who's
easy.
You, no, because,
well, listen. You make it easy to. You make it easy to hate Kip, Brent, because you come on. Or
why
I'm sure in the group. I'm sure in the
why
group.
Why am I losing friendships?
Well, I don't know about losing.
What am I doing wrong?
I don't know about losing.
Up. No, I am.
Why are you losing friendships?
I'm fighting with people.
Well, I mean, yeah, because
people.
You
we'll
have. I don't know if you've
months, but we fight.
Well, Brett, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you have a tone, my friend, and it's not just like you call me up and you say, "Chris, how can like you don't just say that? You say you're the dumbest thing ever. You're not a Giant fan." Like these, this is how you coat. This is how you couch it. So if you go on your 11th Giant media website or whatever you want to call it, and you call and you go, "Hey, you're not a Giant fan unless you're rooting for Daniel Jones and go root for the Cowboys, you loser." Well, that maybe that's why you're getting the reaction you're getting, Brett. Maybe that's why, because I don't know if you're aware, but sometimes, not every time. Today you were rather pleasant. Sometimes you come off as a real jerk, Brett. And I don't think you are a jerk, Brett. But you come off like one. Because you call up and you tell me I'm not a real Giant fan unless I think like you. And if that's what you're saying on these group chats or these, whatever, I forgot the word the term he used for it.
Online groups.
Online groups. If you're joining your 11th online group, right. First of all, I think you should, if you're not satisfied with 10, I don't know if 11 is going to help you. But if you're looking for your 11th online group and you go on and say, "Hey, this is a forum for Giant fans. If you've got a problem with Daniel Jones, go root for the Cowboys." Hey, you're not going to make any friends. Next time, just come out and go, "I love Daniel Jones. Who's with me?" That's probably better. Brett. Look, I'm just saying, it's not like I look to bet against the Giants. I'm just telling you, as someone who follows the lines, that one jumped out at me as bizarre. I did not expect Sam Darnold. I know that many people feel, and when we get into over-unders, I'll tell you about it, but many people feel that Minnesota's a better team, right? They had maybe a better defense, even though I think their defensive backfield's a little bit of a mess as well. But to come in to New York with Sam Darnold, first game ever, first game ever with Minnesota. This is a guy who's, 10, 15 games under 500 as a starting quarterback in this league? First game with a new team that, frankly, isn't that good. Coming to play the Giants, I didn't see a point and a half. I thought the Giants would be favored or pick them. So the line was kind of like, that's interesting. What do they know? I don't know. That's all I'm saying. But we'll find out tomorrow how I go about picking the game. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Mr. McMoniger.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
You know, I'm concerned on two scores. I'm concerned in a good way that the Mets are striking out as pitcher. Their pitchers are striking out more batters than we expected.
Yeah.
A lot of double-digit pitching performances.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also concerned about the batters striking out 13 or 14 times a game. So where's the balance? Is Kansas City won that last World Series against us with contact hitting? Are we going to contact hit in the playoffs while our pitchers are striking them out?
Well, I mean, a couple things. One, first off, Pat, thank you for the call. You got to get to the playoffs, and as of right now, you're not there. Two, yeah, listen, contact, situational hitting, hitting with runners in scoring position, that's how you win. So that's always the fear, especially coming from a Yankee fan who's watched them fail at it, and that's the reason they're always eliminated. The Mets are going to have to find a way to... they're not going to just... You need to hit home runs. There's no doubt about it. I think it's a misnomer, the idea that suddenly good pitching hits you in the playoffs and you know you got to figure out a way to bunt everybody over and hit sacrifice flies. You need to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And the Mets do that, right? The Mets have Lindor, who's got 30 home runs, Vientos, who might have 30 home runs by the end of the year, Alonso, for all his faults this season and the down year he's having with runners in scoring position, he can hit the home run. But yeah, you got to come up with clutch hitting. And, you know, the strikeouts in today's day and age, I know you're talking about a Royals team in 2015 that had a collection of contact hitters. But, yeah, I mean, I still think the swing and miss plays. But I've been surprised. Do I expect Manaea to just go through the rest of the season into the playoffs like a hot knife through butter, like he's been doing? I don't know. I've been very impressed with him. And the swing and miss stuff from Peterson, I mean, his high fastball the other day was just dominating the Red Sox. He had 14 swing and misses on fastballs. David Peterson, I'm not saying he's got a bad fastball, but I didn't see that coming. That high fastball was dominating the Red Sox. And we know Severino can create your swing and miss. So, I mean, you're looking for swing and miss in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to evaporate because you're going to face these great contact hitting teams. You're going to have to navigate a good lineup, right? The best teams are going to get there, I suppose. And, I mean, Phil, you're going to pitch against Philadelphia. You're going to get some swing and miss. The leadoff hitter is Schwarber. You're going to get some swing and miss against Phillies. The problem with them is keeping them in the ballpark. Same thing with the Dodgers. I mean, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are great overall hitters, but like I'm not so worried that what's helped them win right now doesn't evaporate come playoff time. That's not what I'm concerned about necessarily. I mean, you're always concerned the things you do well, you won't do well in the playoffs. That's the fear. But I don't think it's like some sort of, you know, smoke and mirrors that better teams are going to figure out come postseason time. I mean, if that happens, they'll lose. But right now, I think the swing and miss is legitimate. It's enough out of Manaea. We went over the Manaea stats. I mean, he's been doing this for 15 straight starts. He had the one hiccup. Was that Oakland, that game, where he didn't get out of the third inning? I forget which game that was. But he had one bad start. Manaea's been great. Severino pushed through the Seattle game. Right. Severino pushed through that time period where you were concerned about his inning limits and, you know, he had the two or three bad starts, and one of the starts his command was down and his velocity was down. But he's pushed through and still gives you seven innings on a regular basis. And now you got Peterson pitching the best of his career. And they've got the best ERA in baseball, starting rotation-wise, since June. I mean, I'm not overly concerned about it. I think they've proven. I've seen enough. It's just a matter of playing well. But I don't think it's a brand of baseball that is a troubling way to attack a playoff series. That I don't see, no. 888-808-1019. One more quick break. Come back, take as many phone calls as possible. All the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Brett, his 11th giant social media group chat. Oh my god,
are these like AOL chat rooms? Yeah, you should ask him next time.
That's what he is. Yeah, I mean,
it's like it's 2001,
right? Yeah, exactly. My aunt's in like an Andy Griffith chat line. Is that the same? Am I crazy here? I told him that this is a giant platform, and if you got anything to say against Daniel Jones, go root for the Cowboys. And suddenly, I'm losing friends over this.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:45. Big Bonnie here with you on The Fan. Fliegelman already found the song. I must have had it in my system. So maybe tomorrow we'll play a little bit of Football Sunday as we get ready for the weekend. I think I'm going to try and roast smoke a pork shoulder and make a little pulled pork for Sunday. Apparently I got everybody coming over, so I'm looking forward to it. Football's back! This is the best time of year. We got football back. We got pennant race baseball. Believe it or not, the Yankees are going to play playoff games. The Mets battling every night to play playoff games. It's pretty much playoff games right now. And they are thriving in it, thriving in the environment. They got to figure out a way to catch those Atlanta Braves. Right now, one game back in the loss column. Day off later today, and then Friday, start a series with Cincinnati. Got to go out and continue doing what you're doing. Limo driver Ed, what's up, limo driver Ed?
Hey, buddy. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, all right?
Good. Yeah. How are you?
All righty. Hey, just to talk about one question. My sixth question. Pete, he gambled against himself, brother, and he lost. Because, I mean, when other guys are getting hits and he's got bases loaded, once again, he strikes out. He's not a clutch player, you know?
Yeah, well, he hasn't had a clutch season. I don't think it's fair to call him a non-clutch player. I think he has been. This year, Alonso has not been. And we were going over the numbers. Fleegum was telling me in about a half the at-bats for the season, Winker has got, like, pretty much the exact same numbers as Alonso does. Like, Winker's been far more clutch, even just in a Met uniform, over the last few weeks than Pete has been. So I hear you, but here's the thing. Starting today, he has an opportunity to help you get into the postseason and then do damage there, and no one will remember that he couldn't get a clutch hit from March to September. So that's the gift and the curse.
Well, that's one thing I said, you know, that, like, that Judge, he won on his bet, and he had a great season.
Yeah.
All right. Fonzo, he has, it's not the greatest, you know, season for him, but he was betting on himself.
Right.
And now there's no contract. And who do you think? But you're always going to have an owner out there that's going to give him the money, regardless of what.
Well, he's not going to get the money. Thank you for the call, Ed. He's not going to get the money he hoped he would get. In fact, I think he'd be lucky if he gets the same contract he was offered by the Mets originally.
I forgot to tell you a couple hours ago. Did you see the Matt Chapman contract that broke?
Oh, yeah, I did. I briefly saw it. Yeah, Matt Chapman. Hold on. It was on MLB.
6-1-51.
6-1-51. They just gave him that extension out of nowhere, out of the clear blue sky. That's, wow. 25 a year for Matt Chapman.
They had been mentioned as a team that could maybe be willing to spend on Pete.
Yeah,
you'd have to wonder about that now.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder about that now. 6-year, $151 million extension. And, I mean, I got to check his numbers. I thought he got off to a bad start. I haven't paid too much attention to San Francisco. I got to see what he's doing. But that's, I mean, Pete's hoping for more than that, clearly. But I don't know if Pete gets that same contract. I mean, maybe now Matt Chapman's getting it. He's an excellent defensive third baseman, but Pete Alonso's proven to be a much more successful offensive player over the last couple of years. I think there's a chance he stays, and I would want him to stay. And I think there's, you know, he's hurt himself. He might not get the same amount of money, but that's the question. Like, who's going to be willing to give Pete Alonso a lot more money than the Mets? Right? Someone coming off a bad year. He does hit 40 home runs a season, or just about. He's been more clutch than this year. He's an average defensive first baseman. Not that defensive first base is a huge deal when it comes to contracts. But who's going to be looking for a guy on the wrong side of 30? Just had his worst power season of his career. I just don't know where that money comes from. And now it looks like the Giants could be a team off of that list. I know he fits with the Cubs. Was always a talking point with him. Wasn't there word of trading him to Milwaukee a couple years ago? There was like, that was a place where maybe he could have been sent to Milwaukee. I don't know if the Brewers would be interested at that kind of money. So I still think it's a fit for the Mets. I know they want to go out there and sign Juan Soto, and they might need to, you know, bolster the rotation with a couple of big pieces, people, you know, Burns and some of the other free agents starting pitching. But I mean, if he's willing to play ball here, because he's not going to get the big contract he was hoping for, I still think it's a fit with the Mets. And I don't believe him. I think, unfortunately, you've seen how it's affected him. And we talked about those comments from a few weeks ago and how they pointed to him, you know, defending himself. And it's clear this contract has played a role, at least on some level, in his failings this year. So once he makes the money, and this is over, and he doesn't have to worry about the contract, and he's not worried about Boris, and he doesn't have to answer, think about it, and he could just go back to playing baseball. Is he a guy who plays better without the worry of trying to figure out a contract? And if he does, I mean, if you really feel, and I'm starting, I clearly think he was impacted by it, he'll be a better player next year. So it might work out where the Mets are happy because they're giving him less money than they offered him in last year's offseason, so they can justify that as a win. He's still a fan, I would think mostly a fan favorite. Someone inside the organization who might break every single home run record, will break every single home run record you have. You don't need him as a leader necessarily because you've got Lindor. He fits perfectly inside the team. At least that's what we think. I don't know if there's issues. But I would still think it's a very good fit. He has the money. They got money coming off the books. They're even spending less for Verlander than you thought. I know that the prevailing thought is they're going to give $600 million to go get Juan Soto, but they could swing both. Especially now if you can have answers like Manaea and Severino. And even you could throw Peterson into this rotation next year if you feel good enough where those three guys who are even off great years, Severino might get paid a little bit, but I don't know if Manaea is going to get an enormous contract. I'd have to double check on Peterson. I don't think he's a free agent. So they'll have at least another year or two of control with Peterson if you believe in what he's doing here. I mean, suddenly the rotation looks a hell of a lot better. Like going into the offseason, it was like, well, you're going to have to put a ton of money. Now, I know. We'll see what with you got options coming through the farm system as well. You know, if Scott can come back healthy next year. So suddenly where you felt like you were going to have to spend a lot of money just to build a rotation next year, you got Kodai Senga coming back. Manaea probably you're going to want back, and I don't think that's an enormous contract, even though he's pitching great right now. Maybe it's better than I think, but in a world where everybody needs starting pitching, maybe he makes more money than I'm thinking right now. But still, I think it's a relatively reasonable contract for him. Peterson's going to be, you know, not free, but cheap. And same thing with Severino. If 1 year, I mean, I would think his pedigree probably gets him a pretty good contract, but I don't think anything too crazy. It's not going to be a Burns contract, which you thought you were destined to have to go get. So if you could save money a little bit in the rotation because you found answers this year, maybe there is money for both Soto and Alonso. Not that money is a problem with this owner. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Macy Mac.
Yeah, how's Chapman been doing?
What's that?
How's Chapman been doing?
On my team?
Yeah.
Oh, he's terrible. I don't even want to talk about my team. they are so disappointing. And, you know, I call San Francisco radio all the time, and they said, do we really have to talk about them? And they're in San Francisco.
No, I know, but he just got a $25 million a year, six-year contract extension.
I didn't hear that, yeah. Really.
Well, that's why.
Are you depressing me?
I just thought, I'm sorry, I assume that's why you were calling. We just talked about it.
No, I just got up, and
yeah.
I'm shocked. No. I thought he was going to, look, if you look at his number, C-Mac, you know, 20 homers.
Right,
he's a very good defensive player.
Yes,
he's just not a clutch player. He has problems with fastballs up at 95. I never could hit in the clutch. You know what? He's my sixth hitter. I can live with it.
They just gave him a 6-year, $151 million extension.
Holy smoke! I'm shocked at that.
Yeah, I was shocked. We were both shocked by it. I was just that's so funny. I assume that's why you were calling. I hate to break the news to you, but yes, they. We were just talking about it. They gave him, so yeah, he's right now, he's got 22 home runs, 69 RBIs, he's hitting .247, he's got a .778 OPS, he is a very good defensive third baseman, but.
He's one of the best defensive players, yeah. And look, he plays hard.
Yeah, but he's 31, you gave him $25 million a year through his 37 season, that's
insane. They're going to have a lot of money next year because a lot of guys are going.
Right, and they need to do something.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get Juan Soto, but yeah, good.
With the Yankees, it's the same story. I mean, it's sad that at this point in time, you know, you got to have a closer by committee. Is Verdugo to left fielder? Stroman does what he does every year. It just collapses in the second half.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna be a crapshoot in the playoffs, and you know they're gonna get there with the Giants. I'm so psyched about this because I saw it with Tommy yesterday. Tommy's out of his mind sometimes. I got to be honest. I told him that.
Yeah, Tommy Lugauer, he's a little crazy. Well, I mean, he's still he did not say the Giants are going to win 11 games.
He absolutely did, T-Mac. He made the comment. I brought it up yesterday. He made it about 3 weeks ago. And he wants Tommy DeVito. I said, you want Tommy DeVito and 11 wins.
The two don't go together, do they? Maybe it's,
yeah,
you know.
But you got to get Jones what he was 2 years ago, where he didn't turn the ball over. He stayed healthy.
Yeah, but
he only gave you 15 touchdowns. But
that's the thing.
With these new guys, they got to get another 10 touchdowns.
Well, here's my concern about Daniel Jones, or just the way and thank you for the call. Here's my thing about Daniel Jones. You just said it, right? He played great 2 years ago. He didn't play great. He didn't turn the ball over. He played well enough to win, and then he played great for two games. He had his moments. Don't get me wrong. He ran for 8 touchdowns. I understand. He had the rollout touchdowns against Chicago in particular, against the Bears. I'm not saying that, but two games he played great as a quarterback in the NFL, against the Colts the last game of the year, and then against Minnesota in the playoffs. He was terrific, unbelievable, all of it. He was great. Besides that, all he did was not turn the ball over. He took zero chances. They coached it, and that, to give Brian Daboll credit, that was how he was coached to play. Look, it was read one, maybe a quick glance at read two, tuck it and run if it's not there. I mean, that's it. That is it. Now, part of that's offensive line, but still, they got to take chances down the field. Now, to their credit, that's what it feels like has been going on during camp. They're taking chances down the field. But I don't want to just play safe with Daniel Jones. They're not going to win playing safe with Daniel Jones. I know they did 2 years ago. It's very hard to do. They don't have Saquon Barkley, number one. And two, that defense played out of its mind. It had big-time turnovers late in games. They came back from double-digit points in the fourth quarter to beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They came back double-digit points in London to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay. Like, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They need to take chances and go down the field. Now they have the wide receivers to do it. Hopefully the offensive line has improved itself to give them time to do it. But I don't want him to lead the league in non-turnovers. I mean, I do, but I don't expect him to do that if he's going down the field taking chances. Like, there's a fine line. I don't want him mistake-prone, but I also don't want him careful. And I don't know if he's capable, because he hasn't been asked to do it. His rookie year, he threw some touchdown passes, but 2 years ago, when he was playing great and took him to the playoffs, he didn't do anything. He just was careful and handed the ball off. He's going to have to do more. And it starts on Sunday. We'll get more into it tomorrow, Football Friday, right here on The Fan. I'll catch you at 2. Yankees and Mets both off. Unfortunate for the Mets, thankful for the Yankees. I'll catch you tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. for the first Football Friday of the year. Thank you, Fliegelman. Thank you guys for calling. The warm-up show is next. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.